Hello, and welcome to another Economic Week in Review, read to you by Jonathan Andrew Walter, and found on the web at jawspeak.com. Send me feedback to jaw@jawspeak.com. I look forward to getting information about what you'd like to hear on my Economic Week in Review, and other sources maybe that you think I should draw from. First off, big news this week. The Federal Reserve Board's Open Market Committee released a decision of the federal funds rate. I'm going to read you the press release that came out on August 8th. It's kind of exciting to see what came directly from the mouth of the Federal Reserve. So here goes. The Federal Open Market Committee decided today to keep its target for the federal funds rate at 5.25%. Economic growth has moderated from its quite strong pace earlier this year, partly reflecting a gradual cooling of the housing market and the lagged effects of increases in interest rates and energy prices. Readings on core inflation have been elevated in recent months, and the high levels of resource utilization and of the prices of energy and other commodities have the potential to sustain inflation pressures. However, inflation pressures seem likely to moderate over time, reflecting contained inflation expectations and the cumulative effects of monetary policy actions and other factors restraining aggregate demand. Nonetheless, the committee judges that some inflation risks remain. The extent and timing of any additional firming that may be needed to address these risks will depend on the evolution of the outlook for both inflation and economic growth, as implied by incoming information. It's noteworthy to say that one member did vote against the consensus to hold interest rates at its rate, and Jeffrey Lacker preferred an increase of 25 basis points. This could be seen as a sign that the chairman, Ben Bernanke, is a little new. He hasn't established that clean leadership that hopefully will come up in time in the near future. If this continues to have dissenting opinions in the FOMC, that could be a sign that Ben Bernanke is not a strong leader, but we're really getting too early to say anything like that. This is the Economic Week in Review for August 7th through 11th, 2006. Inflation fears and volatility in the oil market continued to weigh on investors' minds this week, with the Federal Reserve Board's cautious decision on interest rates dominating economic headlines. For the week, the S&P 500 index fell 1% to 1,267, and the yield of the 10-year U.S. Treasury note rose 7 basis points to 4.97%. The Federal Reserve's Open Market Committee, FOMC, this week did what hadn't done since the spring of 2004. It left the target federal funds rate unchanged. The Federal Reserve's Open Market Committee, FOMC, this week did what it hadn't done since the spring of 2004. It left the target federal funds rate unchanged. The rate will remain at 5.25%, as I previously read, at least until the FOMC's next meeting on September 20th. In its statement, as you recall, the committee acknowledged that some inflation risk remains, but it suggested the outlook may not look as bleak as some economists and consumers predict. After declining in June, retail sales posted a surprisingly robust 1.4% gain in July, buoyed by an unexpected 3.3% surge in auto sales. Also reporting strong gains were stores selling building supplies, furniture, and electronics. Some analysts cautioned against reading too much into the overall increase, noting that auto sales are always volatile, and warning that continued high energy prices may pinch consumers' wallets in the months ahead. Looking back to June, business inventories rose 0.8% over May's figure, reflecting an overall decline in retail sales for June. Total business sales increased just 0.2%, weighed down by sluggishness in the auto sector and declines in sales by manufacturers and retailers. The inventory-to-sales ratio, this is a measure of how long it would take to deplete existing inventories at the current sales level, lengthened to 1.26 months. A report on business productivity for the second quarter did little to ease concerns about inflation. Non-farm productivity rose by an annualized 1.1%, a sluggish pace compared with the 4.3% gain in the previous quarter. Employment costs, meanwhile, were up sharply. Hourly compensation rose an annualized 5.4%, and unit labor costs, essentially the change in hourly compensation minus the change in productivity, grew an annualized rate of 4.2%. The rising cost of foreign oil didn't keep the U.S. trade deficit from shrinking slightly in June. For the month, the gap in international trade of goods and services fell 0.3% to $64.8 billion. The U.S. exports rose 2.0% to $120.7 billion, and all major export categories posted increases, including autos, aircraft parts, industrial equipment as well. The U.S. imported about 331 million barrels of crude in June. This was valued at $20.5 billion, and that's up 2.7% from May. Personal debt load continued to grow in June. Total consumer credit rose an annualized 5.7% to nearly $2.2 trillion, driven by increases in both revolving credit, primarily that's credit cards, as well as non-revolving credits, things such as auto loans or student loans. It was the sixth monthly increase in a row, and some analysts pointed to the rising gas prices as a major factor behind the jump in credit card usage. As for the week ahead, inflation watchers are anxiously awaiting next week's reports on the product and consumer price indices for July. It's due out on Tuesday and Wednesday, respectively. Also on the calendar are reports of industrial production, as well as new residential construction for July on Wednesday, and the Conference Board's index of leading economic indicators on Friday. Looking back again on this week, we had consumer credit report that came out, comes out once a month, came from the Fed. It is the report of the dollar value of the consumer debt, including categories such as credit card use and store charge accounts, those are revolving debt types, as well as long-term loans for autos, education, recreational vehicles, etc. That's known as non-revolving debt. The level of consumer credit is considered a barometer of consumers' financial health and also an indicator of potential spending patterns. Once again, the big news this week was the FOMC's Open Market Committee. You wonder what that is? Or how's that important to you as an investor? Well, the FOMC is the meeting of the Federal Reserve Board. There are 8 regularly scheduled meetings each year. And this organization, the FOMC, has 12 members in it, and they determine the near-term direction of monetary policy. In other words, they decide the level of short-term interest rates. 7 of the 12 members are members of the Federal Reserve Board, and that's appointed by the president. 4 members are presidents of regional Federal Reserve banks who serve on a rotating basis. The president of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York is a permanent member. Non-farm productivity came out, too. This was a report from the Bureau of Labor Statistics in the Department of Labor. It comes out once a quarter, and it's a measure of the growth of labor efficiency in producing the economy's goods and services. Unit labor costs reflect the labor cost of producing each unit of output. Both are considered indications of future inflationary trends. The non-farm productivity that came out last week came out on August 8th and expected a 0.8%. Actual was 1.1%. The U.S. trade balance, this comes out once a month from the Bureau of Economic Analysis and the Census Bureau, both in the Department of Commerce. This month, it reported the difference between the dollar value of exports and imports. Foreign trade is an important component of aggregate economic activity, representing a significant portion of gross domestic product. Also, the level of exports is an indicator of the global competitiveness of U.S. industries. You recall that the trade deficit for the month, for the quarter, was down 0.3%. And that was for the month, excuse me. Initial jobless claims. This also comes out once a week. You've heard me say this before, that it's just a aggregate number of the people who filed for unemployment insurance the first time in the prior week. Really need to look at the four-week moving average for a more true gauge of initial jobless claims. Also, retail sales. This is what we saw a big bump in. It went up. And this comes out once a month from the Census Bureau of the Department of Commerce. It's a report of the dollar value of sales of a broad range of goods, everything from cars, gasoline, furniture, food services, as well as clothing. Retail sales are a large indicator of consumer spending trends, and it accounts for a substantial portion of total consumer spending and also aggregate economic activity. When this came out, retail sales were up 1.4%. The actual value, that was 1.4% up for July. They only expected 0.8%. Lastly, business inventories. That comes out, which reports once a month by the Census Bureau, the dollar value of product inventories held by manufacturers, wholesalers, as well as retailers. Included in the report is the inventory-to-sales ratio, which is a gauge of the number of months it would take to deplete existing inventories at the current rate of sales. This is an important indicator of the near-term direction of production activity. You'll recall the business inventories rose 0.8% over May's figure in June, reflected an overall decline in retail sales for June. And also the inventory to sales ratio lengthened slightly. Thanks for listening. Hope you have a great week. Send your comments and feedback to jaw@jawspeak.com. I wish you well. Thank you so much.